Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. It's presented by human behavior expert Dr. John DeMartini. This is the perfect show if you're interested in personal development, leadership, and achievement. Each episode shares knowledge, principles, and practical tools that you can use to truly master your life. Dr. DeMartini is a global educator. He's an internationally published author, and he's also a polymath with years of extensive research across multiple disciplines. And that makes him the perfect guide to help you empower all areas of your life. In this episode, Dr. DeMartini explains why it's wise to develop the self-governing executive function of your brain if you would love to strategically think and act with wisdom instead of living your life emotionally reacting to your perceptions of the outer world. Developing the executive center of your brain is really what mind mastery is all about. A quick side note before we get started, all the links or downloads that are mentioned during the presentation are available for you to access in the podcast description underneath this episode. And if you're new to the show and you'd love to be notified of the next episode, now is the perfect time to follow the show. So get your pen and paper ready or set up your digital note taker and let's get started with Dr. DeMartini's latest presentation, Why Developing Your Executive Center Matters. Enjoy.
You've probably seen somewhere in your life, an image of a doctor taking a reflex hammer and hitting a knee where somebody's knees over another knee and causing the muscle to jerk and kick up in the air. And now this is called a deep tendon reflex. It is what is called a monosynaptic reflex. Synapse is a junction between two nerves. And so when you hit the reflex hammer on the knee, the tendon is distended, you might say. And as a result of it, it sends nerve reflexes into the spinal cord and it joins to a muscle, a nerve that goes to a muscle. So you have a sensory nerve and a motor nerve coming out and one synapse, which is a junction between these nerves. And so when you hit that, it jerks. If you hit it just right, it jerks and the muscle jumps. And this is called a monosynaptic reflex. And it is all or none. It either fires or it doesn't fire. There's no gradation to it. And that's because of the most primitive part of our brain, you might say, or spinal cord or nerve system. These monosynaptic reflex mean there's no option on whether it fires or not. It just fires or it doesn't fire. It's black or white. But as you go up into the spinal cord, you get what they call interneurons. There are three types of neurons in the body. There are sensory neurons, there's interneurons, and motor neurons. Now, there's special types of nerves that go on into the gut, and there's special nerves that go into the heart. But generally speaking, they're either input, responding, or output nerves. Sensory input, interneurons for decisions, processing, and motor nerves for output to cause a muscle to change. But as you go in the spinal cord, the most simple reflex is a monosynaptic reflex. There's only one nerve going to another nerve. Then you have bisynaptic reflexes where you have a nerve, a synapse, a junction to a nerve, to a synapse, a junction to another nerve. And that's if somebody burns you, your hand jerks away, but the other hand also does it to balance it contralaterally to the other side in order to keep yourself from falling over when you jerk away. It balances you. So that's a two synaptic reflex. If you go up into the spinal column with that same stimulus, if you hit that deep tendon really hard and it bruises, the nerve can travel not only to the muscle to make a jerk and also to the other side to make it balanced, but also go up into the brain stem or up into the bottom of the skull, you might say, the bottom of the brain, above the spinal cord, and cause the heart rate to increase or to cause us to feel heat temperature or something. And so now you have what is called a polysynaptic reflex. A polysynaptic reflex means you have a nerve, and then finally a response. And the farther you go up in the brain, the more the number of interneurons between the sensory input and the motor output. So we start out like a reflex, but as we go up with all the more nerves, we have, in a sense, not just a reflex, we have a very complex reflex, and those nerves can be turned on or turned off, and they could be more refined in the response. It's like a dimmer switch. Instead of being all or none, it kind of can be halfway. And so the farther we go in the brain, the more we have a governance, more of a you might say a dimmer switch that allows us to not just reflexively respond, but reflectively respond, to stop and think, well, how do I want to respond? And so way up in the very front of the brain, the most advanced part of the brain, where the most amount of neurons are, where you might say the prefrontal cortex, the frontal part of the brain, this is called the executive center, because what the executive center does, it takes sensory input and then associates it with all types of experiences and then creates a motor output. And so there we don't have just reflex, black or white, we have gray. And so let's just say that, let's say when somebody came and criticized us, for instance, and if we had only one response, hit, then if we were in a situation where somebody basically said something to us we didn't like, we would immediately punch them. And that's a primitive kind of response. But as we go up in the forebrain, in the very advanced part of the brain, we could take that stimulus and we can think of hundreds or thousands of different experiences and scenarios in our head, and then select that, you might say, and then respond differently with a piece of wit, a comical response, a request for something, maybe a retaliative response. You have a variety of them. So here's the principle. The more primitive we are in the brain or the individual neurons, the more black and white our thinking. We're kind of fundamental. We don't have many options. And therefore, we don't have freedom. We're like an automaton reacting, kind of like an animal. If it sees predator or prey, it goes in survival and it runs after it or runs away from it. It doesn't have much gray area. It doesn't have a conversation, doesn't take it out to tea, doesn't sing to it. We don't have the things that human beings have. But as we go into the forebrain, go all the way to the most advanced part of the brain, there are trillions or billions of options. And this is what sets us apart. And this forebrain, this executive center, this prefrontal cortex, and some of the subcortical areas that are associated with it, allow us to have a variety of responses. Now, what's interesting is in the brain, there are basically two systems of response, two thinking systems. One is an emotional response for survival that's like a reflex, a monosynaptic reflex, where you just react without thinking. So you emotionally react as a survival response for prey or predator to run after, run away from it, like a monosynaptic reflex, but maybe a polysynaptic reflex. But we also have a systems two thinking, which is a little slower, takes time to process. You have to go through all these gyrations in the head. It's like the dimmer switch. And now what you do is you're now thinking in terms of, well, how do I want to respond? What would give me the most advantage or disadvantage in my response? What about the future application of this individual? How will I respond to them and their friends and their colleagues? And how will it affect my business? And how will it affect my relationship? And how will it affect my economics? And how will it affect my social standard? And now we've got all these associations from all the experiences we've learned through our life. All those can be associated with that stimulus. So I want to make a statement here that it's not what happens to us that makes a difference in life. It's how we process it and how we perceive it. And the difference between a reception of a deep tendon reflex where we just respond without thinking and thinking without reacting is the difference in the advancement of our brain. So the executive center, the executive function, allows us to inhibit those spontaneous reactions that we usually regret because we reacted without thinking. And this allows us to govern ourselves. So the most advanced part of the brain, primarily the prefrontal cortex, there's other cortical and subcortical areas that are involved, but mainly the prefrontal cortex, this area is called the executive center. And this executive center governs the behavior below and allows us the freedom of options to allow us to act with wisdom instead of just emotional reaction. We have, in a sense, emotional responses that are survival, and we have thrival responses that allow us to accomplish great things. This advanced part of the brain, the executive part of the brain, also allows us to take all the experiences that we've had in the past, take this new stimulus, and think of all the possible scenarios of what could happen from it or how we could respond to it, and think out what is the most advantaged one and strategically plan that all before we actually react. And so we may take milliseconds or seconds, 3 seconds maybe, to even respond. but will now make a more graded response, more of a dimmer switch. And instead of having an emotional reaction where we're run by the external world, we're now run from within. So when we're in the survival mode and we're in the emotional reaction, the external world runs us because stimulus makes response. But when we're advanced part of the brain, we run us because we decide how we want to respond. And that's the difference between emotional reaction and thoughtful anticipation and planning. One is reactive, one is proactive. One is reactive with emotions and one is proactive with inspiration potentially. Now you might say, well, how does that relate to our daily life and empowering our lives? Well, in every area of our life, we're constantly being perturbed by our environment and challenged by our environment by different things. But we have a homeostatic mechanism in our brain to try to bring us back into balance. And the executive function, that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to bring us back to make a wise decision that's factoring in all the variables and all the associations we've made to make an act of wisdom instead of an emotional reaction and then we look back and go, well, I regret that. I mean, we've all been in a situation where we've been infatuated with somebody and we're assuming consciously of the upsides and unaware of the downsides and impulsively reacted and then went, oh my God, it's a fatal attraction. And 3 to 6 months later, we go, ooh, what would we get ourselves into? We've also had things we resented and we thought somebody, our first impression is that somebody we didn't want to be around them. And they've turned out to be they're fantastic people. We didn't know at first. And so what we do is we have this subjective bias reaction first until we eventually see all the different variables and allow us to be more objective. The executive center allows us to not react, but act, allows us to assess things more balanced and be able to make a wise decision. It's interesting, Aristotle said that there were vices, which are excess deficiency of perceptions, and then virtue, which is the golden mean, the mean between those polarities. And we had the virtue of wisdom and temperance and the courage to be our true authentic self when we live in our executive function, because it allows us to have way more associations. You've met people probably that are politically or religiously inclined. They're absolutists. This is bad and there's no good in it. Or this is good and there's no bad in it. Very black and white. And they react. And they're basically in systems one thinking. And then you meet somebody that's more aware, more broadened. They see neither positive nor negative instead of either positive or negative. And they're more of a gray and they have a relative view. They're more universal in mind and they have a more appreciative and loving and a response that's thoughtful. And I believe that that's the difference, the executive function versus this primitive response below, these reflexes below. We have reflexes or we have a reflection. We have either reflexes or, in a sense, reflection. The systems two, the executive function, is a reflective mind. It reflects, stops, thinks, anticipates, strategically manages things, strategically plans, anticipates, thinks out the pros and cons, and then acts. And that's what gives us the difference between the animal and the human, or you might say the animal mind and the angelic mind. The angelic mind is to be able to gracefully respond and think through and not let the world outside us impact us. I teach a program called the Breakthrough Experience. The Breakthrough Experience has people come in there sometimes where they're highly infatuated with somebody and they can't control themselves, or highly resentful sometimes people that just want to choke. And these are responses because of the ratios of perception. When you have ratios of perceptions that are black or white, highly subjectively biased, the primitive responses go off. When we have a more balanced view, the more executive function goes off. We're poised, we're present, we're more neutral. And when we're neutral, we're resilient and adaptable, and we have eustress instead of distress. But when we're black and white, if we're highly infatuated with something, we fear its loss. If we're highly resentful to something, we fear its gain. So we can't control it. We're like a monosynaptic reflex, responding without even thinking. But if we see both sides and we see it neutrally and it's gray, not black or white, we're able to stop, reflect, and think. And that allows us to empower our life, because now the voice and the vision on the inside is louder than the opinions on the outside. The world on the inside intrinsically is driving it. People that are driven intrinsically and spontaneously inspired achieve more. They break through limitations in their life. You know, I've been teaching things about breakthrough in my breakthrough experience about values. And the values, you have a hierarchy of values, and whatever is highest on your value, which is an intrinsic value, which is one that inspired from within, this is where you, whenever you're living in the highest value, your executive center gets blood glucose and oxygen, and it starts to have more resilience, adaptability. It expands your awareness. You have a broader perspective. You don't react, you act, and you're more inspired by your life. And you feel more, in a sense, free, because there's all these options you have and you can make the decision accordingly. But when you're down and you're living in lower values, things that are lower in priority, and not living by what's most meaningful to you, you're going into your amygdala, you're going into a reactive mode, you're like a reflex, and you're now vulnerable and very volatile in this state.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life-transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now, let's continue with this episode.
Now, any area of your life, as Warren Buffett says, until you can manage your emotions, don't expect to manage money. Robert Greene says, until you can manage emotions, don't expect to be a leader. And in business, until you can't manage your emotions, don't expect to be a great, you know, manager of people. And in relationships, highly volatile emotions usually cause all kinds of craziness in the relationship. So an individual that's in systems two thinking, which is maybe a little bit more slower processing, but more diverse in the response, and is able to proact and love and appreciate, is way more profoundly empowered compared to an individual that's just an automaton reacting to the external environment like a reflex. So anytime you have a balanced mind, you go into the executive center. Anytime you have an imbalanced mind, you automatically go into the reacting center. You think before you react when it's balanced. You react before you think when it's imbalanced. Highly infatuated, you're going to react. Highly resentful, you're going to react. They're like a prey and predator. You seek it with impulse and avoid it with instinct. But when you're balanced and you see neither positive nor negative, you don't have these impulses and instincts. You end up having intuition, which balances you, and inspiration, which takes you and do what you really love. You take the options. That's why I talk about the executive center and why it matters and why developing it is so important. So let's go through some of the constructs and some of the things you can do to empower your executive center. Number one, as I just mentioned, is automatically living by priority. If you have a hierarchy of values, set of priorities, things that are most important to least important. Whenever you're doing most important things, you'll find out that you feel you're on top of the world. And whenever you're doing less important things, you feel the world's on top of you. We've all remembered a day where you had an agenda, you went after it, you knocked it out, you ticked off the boxes, you got everything done, you stayed on top of it through the day. At the end of the day, you felt you were invigorated, it didn't feel distressful, and you came home and you could handle the emotions or whatever happened, it came home. Anything that was thrown at you, you were adaptable to. You've always had a day where you felt like you got everything that outside world came upon you, opportunities, salespeople, distractions, unexpected, and you never got to priority. And you were a bear and you felt, whoa, what a day. It was a futile day. It's a hell of a day. And you came home and now you're taking out your frustrations on the people you care about. That's systems two thinking. So number one is to make sure that you live your life by priority. If you're not filling your day with the highest priority actions that inspire you, your day is going to fill up with low priority distractions that don't. Low priority distractions are impulsive and instinctual reflexes. And high priority actions that are inspiring are actions that inspire you, that are directed by design and thought instead of just emotional reactions, reflexes. If all of a sudden you prioritize your life. Now, also, if you find out that if you eat sugar, sugar makes you go a little high and then it has a low. It tends to accentuate and low. Anytime you're doing something with concentrations of sugar, high concentrations, you're going to end up with a high and low, which is going to put you down in your amygdala. Anytime you take any food substance to extreme, overeating, undereating, too much or too little of almost anything and not moderation and consistency and rhythm, you automatically create increasing volatilities, which puts you in systems one thinking and makes you react. And then the external world runs your life. But if you moderate that and eat it with a rhythm and consistency moderation, you tend to keep in the executive function and you tend to act and you tend to achieve more. You empower your life. The same thing with when it comes to overeating or undereating. If you overeat or undereat, fasting or binging, these cause the lower responses because you get guilty when you overeat, and then you end up having the licensing effect and you go through and create gyrations. But anytime you do something with a balanced ratio of perceptions, with moderation, consistency, and rhythm, you automatically help the executive center govern your life, and you're in governance. And it's not the external world. It's not even your internal physiology. The external world that's going on is constantly perturbing you. It's how you ask the questions and how you perceive it that makes the difference. I have people in the Breakthrough Experience, my signature program, which I teach around the world, regularly come in with these emotional vicissitudes, these infatuation resentments. And if they come in there, that means that they've stacked up associations with a subjective bias and seen all these negatives and run a story and justify their story and dramatize the story about how bad this thing was. They're victim of history. And as a result of it, they are going into the primitive part of the brain and they're going to react. They see the person, I got to avoid this person. I got to get out of here. Or they have somebody, I've got to have them. They're infatuated. Anytime you're extremely infatuated or resentful, the world around you is going to run you. But if you ask a simple set of questions, okay, what exactly did they do? Where have I done that? How does it benefit me if I'm resenting it? How is it serving me? And balance out the perceptions. The more you balance out those perceptions, the more you go into the executive function, the more you're empowered again, the more you're in the command, and the more you're running your life. And so the quality of your life is basically quality of the questions you ask. If you ask questions that balance out the mind, you can move yourself from to the executive center, from this reacting center, the desire center, the amygdala, they call it, and you can actually take command of your life. Now, this occurs in all areas of your life. You're going to meet people that you think are smarter than you or dumber than you, or more intelligent or less intelligent than you. When you put one on a pedestal, you'll minimize yourself. If you put them in the pit, you'll exaggerate yourself. Anytime you minimize or exaggerate yourself, you're not being yourself. And you're now in the primitive part of the brain, reacting because you're exaggerating, minimizing yourself instead of looking at the individual and realizing whatever you see in them is inside you and balancing the equation and bringing yourself into authenticity instead of exaggerating or minimizing yourself. The moment you bring yourself into balance and bring yourself in balance with them, you realize they're just a human being with a set of values. You can appreciate them and you can act with them instead of react with avoiding or seek. And the same thing in business. You can meet people that are more business savvy or less business savvy, or people that are doing things that support your values or challenge your values, and employees or customers that you admire or despise. Anytime you have these highly subjectively biased perceptions, the primitive one, desire center, the amygdala, the subcortical areas of the brain are going to fire. You're going to react, and then you're going to possibly regret your life looking back at those reactions. But if all of a sudden you learn how to balance out your perceptions by asking quality questions, in the Breakthrough Experience, I teach the DeMartini method. The DeMartini method is a series of questions that bring balance to the mind and take you from this reacting state to this acting state, from this reflexive state to the reflective state, from systems one to systems two, from the desiring amygdala into the executive prefrontal cortex. It's designed because what it does is it asks you methodically how to see things in a balanced way and asks you questions that your intuition is attempting to do to recenter yourself and repoise yourself instead of poison yourself. So it's never the world out there that's running your life. It's your perception of what's out there, and you have command over your perceptions by becoming cognizant of the things you're unconscious of. And the quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask, and the questions you ask can make you cognizant of the unconscious. So if you're infatuated with somebody and you're unconscious of the downsides, if you ask a question, okay, what specific trait, action, or inaction do I perceive this individual displaying or demonstrating that I admire? Great. Where do I have that behavior? Own it, 100%. Then what's the downside of those behaviors, which you don't typically do, that you're unconscious of? Bring the downsides and the benefits equal, and that's now balanced. You just went from systems one, reacting or to avoid or seek, to now, I love this individual, let's have a dialogue. They're a unique individual with a set of values. If I learn to communicate in their values, I can get nice. If I learn to challenge their values, I can get mean. I have, in a sense, command over my reality. That's a powered state. In fact, every area of life, your spiritual quest, your intellectual quest, your business quest, your financial quest, your family, love, and intimacy quest, your social leadership quest, your physical health and well-being quest, all of them can be seen imbalanced or balanced. And if you react and have an imbalanced perspective, the DeMartini method is there to ask questions, which I teach in the Breakthrough Experience, how to ask the questions to recenter yourself and rebalance yourself to move from systems one to systems two, from reflexes to reflective. And then you act, not react. And then you're intrinsically driven by design and living by design instead of duty reacting to the world around you. If you feel like the world is running your life and you're basically a byproduct of the world around you, you're a victim of history. But if you act and you realize that you can ask questions, balance out whatever is happening to you, and change your actions, you have control of your perceptions, decisions, and actions in life. You balance out your perceptions, you're in command of your actions. If you imbalance your perceptions, the world out there commands your, causes reactions. It's not that. The people that don't know this and don't know how to empower their executive center and don't know how to ask the right questions to balance their mind are automatically feeling that the world's doing this to them. And they're blaming the world on the outside and giving credit to the world on the outside. And it's all extrinsically driven with false attribution biases of the world outside. And they feel that they're living in causality. In Buddhism, they called it the karmic wheel. Means that they're trapped in this world of reactions and causality, that the world around them runs their lives. And there's also a dharmic wheel in the Buddhist construct where you are in command and you're living by a mission in life instead of these passionate reactions. And now you're on a mission and you're able to take whatever happens and balance it and use it to your greatest advantage. I'm interested in that. I'm interested in helping individuals master that. I'm a firm believer that it's not what happens. William James said the greatest discovery of his generation is human beings can alter their lives by altering their perceptions and attitudes of mind. If I sit down and take something that you're highly resentful about and I ask you the upsides to it, and you go, well, there are no upsides at first. It's all black. There's no white. And then I hold you accountable and look again, you will discover that your subjective bias can be overridden by objective truth and allow you to see the upsides, because every event has two sides. And if you find the upsides, and the upsides eventually equal the downsides, and once they're balanced, it's not an evil event. It's just an event. John Milton said, you can make a heaven out of a hell or a hell out of a heaven. It's based on the ratios of perceptions. And so when you learn how to do that and you learn how to ask the questions by using the DeMartini method in the Breakthrough Experience, you can empower your life in any one of those seven areas. There's no reason why you can't take command of your perceptions and run your life instead of having other things outside you constantly cause you to react like a reflex, like that hammer on the knee. And many people are just reactive. I'm amazed. They just go, well, so-and-so said this to me and I'm angry about that and it makes me feel bad. And that's, they're basically blaming something on the outside and thinking that's the cause of their life. And instead of actually, or giving credit, this person's going to save me. This individual, if I believe this, is going to save me from all my problems. This outside causality, this extrinsically run victim savior mentality model is basically a disempowered state compared to taking command of your perceptions, decisions, and actions by balancing out your perceptions and then taking actions, not reactions. The moment we balance it out, we go to the forebrain. The moment we imbalance it and get highly subjectively biased, the more we go into the primitive reactions. That was there designed for capturing prey. We need to accelerate with adrenaline to capture the prey and run after it and to avoid the predator. So in survival mode, we have to have those subjective biases for survival. But 99% of our life is not in survival mode. We're not going to get eaten by a prey and we're not going to starve. So we need to learn to master the executive function. That's why I teach that in the Breakthrough Experience. That's why I teach the DeMartini method. That's why I talk about values. Because unless you live by highest priorities, that area of the brain doesn't even get blood. Automatically, the reactive part of the brain gets blood. Anytime you're living by highest priorities, the highest values, you wake up that executive center. You're less likely to be emotionally reactive. You're more resilient and adaptable. You're more likely to have a longer time horizon instead of immediate gratification. You're not likely to be overeating and consuming and addictive behaviors and things, which are compensations for not living by high priorities in awakening your executive function. The executive function is the key to empowering your life. The executive function is the key to expanding your awareness and potential. Your executive function is the thing that makes you different from the animals. The executive function is the one that allows you to be inspired instead of despired, and to be a master of destiny, not a victim of history. So that's why I took the time to go over that today, because I really believe that that can give you an advantage. That's why I tell people to go to the Breakthrough Experience and learn the Demartini Method. It's a tool that you, with 1,000 applications on empowering all areas of your life. I believe that we're here to master our life. I believe that we're here to power our life. In any area of our life we don't empower, other people will overpower us because they're going to run us. So if we don't take command and balance our perceptions and learn how to have moderation, consistency, and rhythm of perception, we're automatically going to have the outside world run us. And nobody in the outside world is dedicated to our fulfillment in life. So if we're not balancing it, and they're not, they're doing whatever it helps them fulfill their values, we're going to be a byproduct, an automaton reacting to all these misperceptions. So I'm a firm believer in taking the time to do it. That's why I basically said, if you don't empower yourself in intellectually, you'll be told what to think. If you don't empower yourself in business, you'll be told what to do. If you don't empower yourself in finances, you'll be told what you're worth. If you don't empower yourself in relationships, you'll be honey-do things all over the yard and house. If you don't empower yourself socially, you'll be told propaganda and misinformation. If you don't empower yourself physically, you'll be told what drugs to take and organs to remove. If you don't empower yourself spiritually, you'll be told some dogma that's maybe antiquated, that's irrational, that's anthropomorphic. But if you actually empower those areas, you take command and you end up in the driver's seat. And then you realize whatever is out there, you have within you. Whatever's out there is neutral until you choose with your subjective bias to make it something of a heaven or hell. And having that position, empowering your life, is the path to power. And that's why I take the time to do that in the Breakthrough Experience. And I want to share with you something right now. I have a new seminar called The Path to Power. And it's increasing your mental mastery and for your greatest mastery and power in your life. And the reason I mention that is because I want to take off where I just left right now and take over with this little presentation, this new seminar. I want to take what I just said and develop it and show you how to actually do that. And as a result of that, I'm going to show you the mechanisms and the pathways and the questions, the quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. How to ask questions to liberate yourself from those little reflexes that you don't have control over to having, in a sense, actions that you're in command on. You can live by design or you can live by duty. You can live with foresight, you can live by hindsight. Hindsight is trial and error, it's most inefficient. But if you live by foresight and you learn how to master your perceptions, decisions, and action, you can take command of your life and live by design, not duty. Ontological, not deontological. And be inspired by your life spontaneously by living by what's valuable and be on top of the world instead of on the bottom of it where the world's on top of you. So I just wanted to share that. Please take advantage of this Path to Power presentation. If you like what I just said today, this is definitely going to take it to the next level. And I'm absolutely certain you want to learn the Demartini Method at the Breakthrough Experience. Find a way of getting that method. That is it's a gold mine. It's a tool with 1,000 uses. And you don't have to be a victim of your history anymore. You can be a master of your destiny. So this is my weekly webinar for this week. And just want to share that insight. So just decide, do you want to be a reflex or do you want to be a reflective individual? Reflective awareness is the highest level you can have. It's the path to power. So I'll see you in this, the Path to Power or at the Breakthrough Experience. Thank you for joining me today. Please take advantage of this upcoming webinar that I'll do. And until next week, I'll see you next week.
Well, that was just a small sample of what Dr. Demartini has to share. And if you would love to continue learning from Dr. Demartini, please follow the Demartini Show. That way you'll be notified when we add the next episode. And if you'd love to find out more about Dr. Demartini's work, then log on to our website on www.drdemartini.com. You'll find loads of valuable information on our blog, and there's also a free training page that you'll be able to access under the Learn tab on the homepage. You can also use the online chat function to talk to a member of the Demartini team. We would love to get to know you and to understand what you would love to achieve, so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to help you to achieve your goals and dreams. And we'd also love to invite you to join us in the Staying Inspired Facebook group. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay inspired, and take the action steps to empower all areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.eng/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused and stay inspired.